Happy Sabbath, brethren. It's good to see so many in our hall today. Hello to any attending online. Looking forward to our evening activities. But of course, the reason we gather today together is at God's command to worship Him. And so here we are. We can liken our relationship with God and that pursuit in several different ways. But today I'd like for us to consider treasure hunters. What is your favorite treasure hunter? When you think of a treasure hunter, what pops in your mind? I think Indiana Jones probably is a relatively popular character. Or if you're into a cartoon, you might say Scrooge McDuck. Anybody, maybe that's more my generation. I don't know. If you're into computer games, you might say Guybrush Threepwood. Anybody know Guybrush? Okay, I'm the only nerd here. All right. Treasure hunters have a few things in common. They actually have a few things in common with us, but with each other they have a few things in common. One of those things is they have a belief that that treasure is real. They have a conviction. They know it, and they are going to find it. It motivates them. It helps them to move forward towards that goal because they know it's there. Other people might not believe the riddles that they find, the facts and the archaeology, but they do. They believe it. They have a passion. They're willing to seek it, even though there may be danger. What treasure seeker doesn't have an element of danger that they go up against or opposition, those that go against them? And yet, they're going to pursue that treasure because they know it's real. Another thing treasure hunters have in common with each other is that they have an understanding of the value of what they're going after. It's immense. It is worth whatever may come. It is something special. Treasure hunters believe in the value. And we, brethren, we can be treasure hunters. We're encouraged to be treasure hunters by some in the Bible. In fact, today, we are going to be treasure hunters. Anybody that would like to, we're going to have an activity, which I'll tell you about during announcements, because then it doesn't count against my time. We are to be treasure hunters. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, as we consider becoming a godly treasure hunter. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right here is our belief. Just like a treasure hunter, we have faith. We know God exists. Even though He's never shook our hand, He's in the heavenly realm and we're in a physical, we're limited. We know He's real. We have a conviction that motivates us to seek Him when many others don't. Because we are like the treasure hunters. And this is a lifelong pursuit. This is something where we can continue to pursue that relationship. There's more than one episode. There's more than one treasure to go find when it comes to our relationship with God, just like a treasure hunter. And let's read verse 6 as well. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So there is the belief, but then also there's the understanding of the immense value of the relationship with God, just like a treasure hunter. And we have examples in the Bible that actually encourage us to be like that. And we're going to look at one in particular today. So if you would, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2, as we consider an example from the line of David. Proverbs chapter 2. Now, we understand that this particular section was written by King Solomon. Proverbs chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 1. He says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Eternal gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path." Solomon encourages his children and us through the Proverbs to pursue the treasure of a relationship with God and the values that he has. He encourages us to seek it like treasure. Understand the value of it. Believe that it's there and go for it. Where do you think King Solomon learned this from? His father David also had a pursuit of God. And we see much of David's life in the scriptures. We can see examples of him pursuing that relationship with God as if it was a treasure. So let's go to Samuel. We're going to go to 1 Samuel. We're going to look at some examples. But as you go there, I'm going to read Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. Acts 13, 22 reminds us who David was to God. It says, "When he had removed him," speaking of King Saul, God raised or removed King Saul, "he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he," again speaking of God, "gave testimony and said, 'I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.'" He was a man after God's heart. And we think of when we're after something, the police are after me. Well, they're in pursuit of that individual. David was after God's heart. He was seeking it. He wanted to find, discover, treasure, value. And we see that in his life. When did David seek God? In many instances. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, let's look in verse 19 to start. First Samuel chapter 1 and verse 19, and we'll notice that in times of distress, David sought God. Treasure hunters do not necessarily have an easy path. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be difficulties that they come across. So in this particular instance, David was on the run. His wife had helped him to escape. Saul was in pursuit. 1 Samuel 19, we read in verse 18, it says, "So David fled and escaped and went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and stayed at Naoth." David, in this time of distress, he went and sought a man of God. He went and sought Samuel, who had anointed him, who was a spiritual leader. He wanted to find out, okay, what's next? So he valued that relationship. He sought that relationship. He had to go after it. But it wasn't only in times of distress, but also just times of uncertainty. Let's jump forward a little bit. Most of these are chronological. just for ease of speaking, chapter 23, verse 1, David runs across a circumstance where he's not totally sure what the steps should be. What does he do? Verse 1, chapter 23, then they told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Eternal said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. God was somebody that he wanted to go and find. He wanted to go and see, direct my ways. I value that. I believe that you're there. Show me. Talk to me. He pursued him in moments of uncertainty. David also went to him in times of loss and suffering. Let's jump forward to chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. At this point, David is living near the Philistines, and they come back to camp one day, and their loved ones are gone. All their things are gone. Everything. Can you imagine going to your house, and everything is gone? All your stuff, your pets, your food, it's all taken away. What would you do? It was a time of sorrow. It was a time of great uncertainty, of sadness. Our family was stolen. So jumping in here in chapter 30, we'll start in verse 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. It seems an appropriate response if you lose everything, including your family, that you would weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Then David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So in the time of that sorrow, he went to God. His belief led him to that relationship. He treasured it. He needed it. Then David said in verse 7 to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, and the 600 men who were with him came to the brook where those stayed with who were left behind. But David pursued. One important thing to note, when David went to God during this time of loss and suffering, and he received an answer, he did it. We pursue God in a relationship when we go to Scripture and we see God's definitive word. If we're convicted by faith, we will do it. We will follow through with what he has for us to do, because we treasure him and that relationship we have. And if we read verse 23, we'll notice David does not take credit. Verse 23, after they've recovered everything, David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us. And that had to do with how the gentleman wanted to keep everything for themselves after some soldiers did not go. But he says, we're not going to do that. But notice he said, with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand that troop that came against us. He didn't beat his chest and say, it was us, we're awesome, we did it. No, eternal. God gave us that deliverance. He returned our stuff to us. That was David's attitude. He treasured God in his life. It was important to him. So in times of loss and suffering, he went to God. Also in times of change, in the next book, 2 Samuel chapter 2, Saul dies in battle, as well as Jonathan, and there's changes that are going on. So what's next? What's going to happen? In chapter 2, book 2, verse 1, said, "It happened after this that David inquired of the Eternal, saying, 'Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?' And the Lord said to him, 'Go up.' David said, 'Where shall I go up?' And he said, 'To Hebron.'" So in times of change, David looked to God. Also in times of error, have we ever made mistakes? Of course we make mistakes. What do we do after those times? Where do we go? Let's look in 1 Chronicles. Now we got to jump a little bit further ahead. We'll come back to Samuel. But 1 Chronicles has a nice complete, well, at least the conclusion anyway of this event. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, we can read about how David brings the ark to Jerusalem. And prior to this moment, they had an instance, which we've talked about relatively recently, where they were moving it, but they weren't moving it in the right way. And one of the servants reached out to touch an ark that was tipping, or it seemed to be in danger of it, and he was struck dead by God. And David was shocked by this, frustrated by this, apparently to the scripture. And so there's a time gap then before they brought it in. But notice what David did in the meantime before they brought him. So 1 Chronicles chapter 15, it says right here in the beginning, verse 2, "Then David said, 'No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites. For the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever.' And David gathered all Israel together at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Eternal for its place, which he had prepared for it." So he had some very specific instruction here. And if we jump down to verse 13, it says, "For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order." What we see here is that David went back to the scripture. He sought God after the error to find out, oh, we didn't do it right. I don't think we need to read this section as him blaming somebody else saying, oh, you didn't do it right. But rather, he as the king took the responsibility to go to God and say, okay, what did we do wrong here? Found it out. And then shared that instruction. So in times of error, in times of distress, in times of loss, times of uncertainty, in times of change, he sought after God. And why? Because he valued that relationship. He treasured that relationship. And we can see times where we would say he definitely treasured God in specific moments. So let's think of it that way for the next few scriptures. Back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 24. We'll see how God treasures God in this time of testing. 1 Samuel 24. So David is on the run. And in this case, he's in a cave. And if we were watching this in a movie, it could play out a couple different ways. It could be a drama where it's really scary and tense because they're hiding and Saul's trying to find them. Or it might be a comedy where these two armies are just kind of circling this mountain and they can't find one another. But David's hiding in the cave and King Saul comes in. And he's vulnerable. And so as David's men say, this is it. God's delivered him into your hands. But we can see here, David treasures God and his relationship with his response. So let's jump in the story here at verse 4. So Saul is vulnerable, and at the end of verse 4, David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Eternal forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also rose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped his face to the earth and bowed down. David treasured what God thought. He treasured what God said. And God had Saul anointed. Saul was king, even though David was anointed too. David treasured what God said, what God thought. He treasured that relationship with God. And so his response here is concern for what God would say, what God would think. Not as much about Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. And we understand this is a great scripture if we want to point to who it is that God works with, who it is that God is able to have good relationship, close relationship with, somebody that's humble. So David bows down to this man that is seeking him to kill him. He bows down because he's the Lord's anointed. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, we have a good scripture you could look at that speaks about who God can work with. So in times of testing, David treasures God. But there's also times of blessing where he's treasuring God. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 5. We'll go chronologically again a few times. 2 Samuel chapter 5. This time of blessing, David's reigning over Israel. Good things are happening. He's being recognized by other nations. Verse 11, then Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. So David knew that the Eternal had established him as king over Israel and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people, Israel's sake. At this point, when he's receiving these things as a king, it would have been easy for him, it would be easy for us in that circumstance, to just think we are great. We are wonderful. Other people are doing things for me because I'm great. David reflects and he treasures that relationship with God. He recognizes who it is that has set him up. He values that. That's what he treasures, even within the physical blessings. So in times of blessings, he treasures that relationship with God. Also in times of victory, if we just read starting in verse 17 here. Chapter 5, verse 17. Now when the Philistines heard they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. David heard of it, went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of the Eternal, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. So David went to Baal Perazim. David defeated them there, and he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal Perazim. Now, in these times of victory, King David, again, didn't pat himself on the back. He reflected on his relationship with God. He treasured that God was the one that brought him these things. God gave the victory. God broke through those enemies, though he was swinging a sword. Because he treasured that relationship. And one more example here. Let's look at the ark coming to Jerusalem. Back to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We have a time of rejoicing. God was treasured by David. David believed. He had faith to pursue that relationship. And he wanted to do all things relating to God. He brought the ark to Jerusalem, and they rejoiced. He was a man after God's own heart. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 1, so they brought the ark of God, set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. Verse 4, And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark, the eternal, to commemorate, to thank, to praise the Lord God of Israel. We jump down again to verse 7. And on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Eternal, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing songs to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice, who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. David treasured God. He sought God. It was his passion. He was a treasure hunter. And what does he do except encourage us? Encourage the people of God to seek him. And so he taught his son, and his son passed on Proverbs for us to see. That God is a treasure. That relationship is a treasure. And we are to pursue that treasure. We are to value that treasure. Jesus puts it very plainly. If you turn with me to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 7, some familiar scriptures for us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. I'm in Mark, and that's not the same thing. Matthew 7, verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? God wants us to seek that relationship. He wants us to value it, to treasure it, and to go after it. Jesus gives some parables. We could turn to Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. He said again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. That's valuing that relationship. That's valuing our God, that that person would exchange everything that he had. He knew what it was worth. It was priceless. And that is our relationship with God. That is our calling to be part of that family, the kingdom of God. It's worth everything. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So very similar to the last one, this individual was seeking. He was looking, and he found it. Jesus says, if you seek, you will find. That's who he wants us to be, treasure hunters. And it actually relates to who God is himself. There are things that God seeks too. In fact, if we turn back to 1 Samuel, in our conclusion here, in 1 Samuel, we'll see that God seeks as well. 1 Samuel chapter 13. We're going to jump into a rebuke of Saul. Saul was not doing so hot. Saul was not faithful. He did not treasure God. And so in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, we'll jump into this rebuke. He says, but now your kingdom shall not continue, speaking to Saul. The Eternal has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you've not kept what the Lord commanded you. God is seeking. God is seeking a treasure seeker. That's who he wants. He wants somebody that's going to value that relationship. And if we jump forward to chapter 16, notice what he says here. 1 Samuel 16, this is as Samuel is looking at the brothers of David, thinking, oh, it's got to be the tall one. It's got to be the strong one here. It's got to be that older one. He's impressive. But 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." God is seeking treasure seekers. And he can see right into us. He knows. He wants to see if we value that relationship. There's a couple places it says that in the Psalms. Psalm 14, verse 2. Psalm 14, verse 2. No surprise here that this is a Psalm of David. We'll start in verse 1. The opposite. Those that don't value the treasure of the relationship with God. It says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord," verse 2, "looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God." So God is looking for you, the treasure hunter. He is looking down at mankind to see who out there will treasure me. Who is going to have belief like David? Faith that God is going to him in all circumstances, seeking him like treasure, valuing that relationship so much that he would do all things in particular way. If we do that, if we pursue God as that treasure, we will find him and we will be rewarded.